Hey, good evening, True Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network, or as somebody referred to us in a letter to the editor, the Novus M Radio Network. Whatever, it all works. It all works. It's all good. How you doing? Thanks for stopping by this evening. Hope you're going to hang out for a while before you get on to the more serious things you have to do in your life, right? My name is Mike Malloy, M-A-L-L-O-Y, and this is the Nova M. Novus, I guess, would be masculine. Nova would be feminine, right? A lot of weirdness, a lot of weirdness out there. Yes, indeed, a lot of weirdness going on this already. It's only Monday. This is the first Monday in October, so that means the Supreme Court is back in session, just in time for Clarence Thomas to release his book and try to get back at that nasty woman who, oh, you remember. Oh, my God, that seems like so last century. But there's Clarence Thomas just sucking his thumb, whining. Oh, God, I was attacked by liberals. It was the worst thing I've ever gone through. Oh, I don't do it, Antonin Scalia says. Oh, it just looks that way. Oh, yes, I went through Yale or was it Harvard or Columbia or Princeton, whatever, on affirmative action, but I hate affirmative action for anybody else. For me, it's okay. Oh, it's just awful. Oh, Anita Hill was just so unfair to me. All the white people were unfair to me. The black people were unfair to me. The liberals were unfair to me. The Democrats were unfair to me. Oh, woe is me, woe is me. So it'll be interesting to see how Clarence Thomas rules. Clarence Thomas always rules the same way. Given a choice of ruling for corporate America or the government as opposed to the people, he always goes with corporate America or the government. It doesn't make any difference what the situation is. So, anyway, it's the first Monday in October. That used to be an important day because that meant the Supreme Court was coming into session and a non-politicized court. Oh, they had liberals and conservatives on the court, of course, always have. But it was not politicized the way it is now, and the court was not tainted with the stench and the stink and the vile odor of having given George W. Bush the presidency 2,000 years, or in the year 2000, seems like 2,000 years ago, in the year 2000, and ordered Florida to stop counting the votes. So much for states' rights. First Monday in October. There you go. All right. We were very busy. We had over the past 36, 48 hours in the Malloy household, we had roots, tree roots, grow into our main sewage line from the house out to the road where it ties in with the county. And we had tree roots apparently have been growing into, you know the rest of the story. Oh, my God. The entire house, everything that we own smells like Lysol at this point. Or no, not Lysol, Pine Sol. Whew. What a night. What else? Is that it? That's everything on the topic? Okay, listen.
Can we stop?
Plus Kathy has a sinus infection. The Pine Sol is probably just playing hell with that, isn't it? Huh? But everything smells like rotten Christmas trees. It's awful, awful. Oh, well, it'll clear out eventually. Speaking of awful stuff, the nation's meat supply is okay. Everything's safe. It's the safest in the world. That's according to U.S. Agriculture Department Undersecretary of Food Safety, Dr. Richard Raymond. He said, don't worry. Everything is okay. There's no problems. Don't look over here where you see us recalling 21.7 million pounds of ground beef contaminated with E. coli bacteria. Everything's okay! Dr. Raymond said that while an investigation found inadequate E. coli safety measures at the Tops Meat Company plant in New Jersey, the government is on top of the problem. Jesus, I feel better about that. Of course, I don't eat that kind of crap. Haven't for a couple of years. When we want to indulge in hamburger, we go to the farmer's market and buy a slab of, buffalo meat and grind it up and make our own. But Raymond said in an interview on CBS this morning, I think the American meat supply is the safest in the world. A recall like this does show that we're on the job, we're doing our inspections, our investigation, and we respond when we find problems to make sure the supply is safe. We're on top of it. Ah. The recall came after more than a dozen people in 8 states fell sick. And several were confirmed as getting E. coli from Tops products. Other cases are now under investigation. A Tops official said over the weekend that the company has now augmented its procedures with microbiologists and food safety experts. Wow! See how the free market works? By God, enough people get sick, few die, a couple of bloody noses, a few children wind up in a coma, and they'll fix the hamburger meat. All right, let's hear it for the free market. Now, inquiring minds want to know who really owned that drug plane that crashed in Mexico last week. I've kind of held off on this to wait to see if it's another Eugene Hasenfuss story. You remember, he was the one that was shot down running arms to the Contras and had George W. Bush's phone number in his breast pocket when the Ortega, the Sandinistas, got him and said, "What's his phone number?" Oh, no. So we're just curious about this, but here's the story. U.S. authorities are assisting the Mexican government, in the investigation of an American business jet that crashed near Cancun last week with 4 tons of cocaine on board. One of the men listed as the registered owner of the plane, João Luiz Malago, said in a telephone interview from Brazil that his Florida-based company sold the aircraft for $2 million on September 16th to a Lakeland, Florida man and his partner, who Malago believed was from Miami. Malago said he feared the man was dead because, well, he hasn't been picking up his phone. Some news reports have linked the plane to the transport of terrorist suspects to the U.S. detention center Guantanamo. But those record site logs indicate only that the plane flew twice between D.C. and Guantanamo, and once between Oxford, Connecticut and Guantanamo. No terrorist suspects are known to have been transferred to Guantanamo directly from the United States. Now follow this. The Mexican Attorney General's office said the blue and white Gulfstream crashed on Monday in a remote jungle area on the Yucatan Peninsula. Authorities seized 132 bags of cocaine weighing 4 tons. 2 men were arrested, jailed on drug charges. In Merida, the officials declined to identify the men. However, the aircraft is sold on August 30th to Donna Blue Aircraft, owned by 2 Brazilians. Malago and his partner, Eduardo Diaz Guimarães, are the 2 men. In separate telephone interviews from different parts of Brazil, both men said they'd sold the aircraft to Florida men on September 16th. Guimarães reached in central Brazil, said, "We are not the owners of the plane." He deferred most questions to his partner, who said from Sao Paulo that Donna Blue purchased the aircraft in July from a company that owned it for 10 years and then flipped it quickly to 2 Florida businessmen who paid for it in full. McClatchy newspapers withholding the names of the alleged owners of the plane because it couldn't be reached for confirmation. At the time of the Guantanamo flights, the plane's operation was managed by Air Rudder International, a California-based air charter service, but was owned by someone else. Air Rudder's owner, Bill Kripe, refused to identify that owner except to say he was a reputable businessman. Kripe also said he didn't know about any flights to Guantanamo. Oh, yeah. Well, you know who's behind the curtain on this one, don't you? Huh? Why, of course. This has the stench of the CIA all over it. Flying drugs. Well, it's a good way to raise a little extra cash. How many tons? 4 tons of cocaine? Let me see here. 4 tons. Carry the 9 times divided by 6, 18. That's a lot of money! That's a lot of money! A CIA plane. Oh, could this mean that all those stories from the 90s about the CIA and drug running and crack and fighting the Sandinistas with this group of motley thug bastards named the Contras, all supplied by drug money, could there be any truth to it? And Noriega, the reason Noriega was busted is because, well, first of all, he helped assassinate General Torrijos. And Torrijos blew up, bam, bam, and it was about to blow the whistle on the Bush crime family drug running operations out of Panama. Okay. Interesting story. John McCain prefers a Christian president. He was prompted yesterday to calm controversy over an interview in which he said he would prefer to have a U.S. president be Christian rather than Muslim. There's more to this story. We'll try to track down the owner of John McCain during the break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
My crazy brother Joe sniffed it up and kicked his heels at Horton. That's some blow. Bales of cocaine falling from the flying plane. I don't know who done dropped them, but I think I'm just the same. Bales of cocaine falling like a pouring rain. My life's changed completely, father, no flying plane. So I loaded up them bales in my pick-em-up truck, headed west for Dallas, where I would try my luck. I didn't have a notion if I could sell them there. 30 minutes later, I was a millionaire.
I've reminded the Prime Minister, the American people, Mr. Prime Minister, over the past months that it was not always a given that the United States and America would have a close relationship.
Yeah, there was always some doubt about that, wasn't there, Chuckle Nuts? Oh, my God. Anyway, John McCain. McCain realizes that Giuliani is never going to get the Christian Taliban vote in this country come election day. So McCain, being an absolute political whore that he is, he'll roll over for anybody. George Bush, Pat Robertson, it doesn't make any difference. Being the political whore that he is trying now to deny his Episcopalianism and become a Baptist without having to go through the ritual. Let me tell you something, McCain. My grandparents were Baptists. I know Baptists. You are not a Baptist. You are not. As a matter of fact, you have to go through the kind of Baptist you want to be. You have to go through full immersion. Never mind. They'll explain it to you. But anyway, McCain is out there because the Christian Taliban is saying they don't like Giuliani because Giuliani is a typical Republican hypocrite. But he won't mouth the words. They all know what he's about. He's easy on gay folk. He likes to dress up in women's underwear. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Go out and party with a wig and a dress and lipstick. That's cool. He's in favor of gun control, unless his wife calls when he's addressing the NRA. He's he thinks stem cell research makes sense, and he thinks that a woman ought to have the right to choose an abortion if she wants to. But yet he tries to sell himself as a right winger. There's 911 reasons why he would like to be the president. If you can see him any days on television at 9/11, either in the morning or the evening. And 9/11 is, by the way, that is his shoe size is either 9 or 11. Everything refers to 9/11 with Giuliani. That's his, he's America's mayor and he strode among the ruins and yada, yada, yada. But the Christian Taliban doesn't like him. So who are they going to pick? Mitt Romney? Yeah, oh, sure, okay. Yeah, they're going to pick Mitt Romney. He's not even a Christian. He's one of these cult members, the Mormons, where Joseph Smith walked out in the woods over there in, where was it? Pennsylvania. And this angel came and said, B-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b- the Arkansas governor, Huckabee? No, I don't think so. His name's too funny. Nobody ever in the United States is going to be elected president with a name like Huckabee. No, it's not going to happen. So who are they left with? I think Huckabee is a minister, isn't he? Isn't he a Methodist? A Southern Methodist? Southern Baptist? I don't know. He's something. I don't know what he is. So the Christian Taliban is already putting the word out. Nah, we're going to vote third party. Okay. So McCain sees an opportunity here. You know, being the political whore that he is, no offense to sex workers, he sees an opportunity. So he immediately rolls over on his back and says, okay, here I am, here I am. I'm a Baptist. I believe a Christian nation. He says, in an interview posted last Saturday on the faith and politics news site called BeliefNet, you like that? BeliefNet. He said, I just have to say in all candor that since this nation was founded primarily on Christian principles, personally, I prefer someone who I know who has a solid grounding in my faith. And then he went on to say, I think the number one issue people should make in the selection of the President of the United States is, will this person carry on in the Judeo-Christian principled tradition that has made this nation the greatest experiment in the history of mankind? End quote. Woo! Really? Is that what did it? It wasn't those folks from the Native American, what was the Iroquois Nation, the Greeks, Roman? Oh, really? It's because of the Judeo, oh, okay. Asked if that criteria would make it difficult for a Muslim to perform well as president, McCain responded at the website, I admire the Islam. Oh my God, he sounds like Bush. I admire the Islam. Well, there's a lot of good principles in it. I think one of the great tragedies of the 21st century is that these forces of evil have perverted what's basically an honorable religion. End quote. Uh-oh. Right there, John. You just cut your own throat with the Christian Taliban. There is no honorable religion other than born-again, Armageddonist, dominionist Christianity, stack the bodies high so Jesus will come back. Forget it, McCain. You're toast. Somebody should just get in your face and say, John, sit down. Take a deep breath. You're not going to be president of anything. McCain said, I just feel that my faith is probably a better spiritual guide. I don't say that we would rule out under any circumstances someone of a different faith. I just think, well, I don't know what I think. Give me 10 minutes and I'll change what I think. I think that I want to be president and I need those crazy psychopathic bastards on the Christian right. So all I'm trying to do is whore myself to them.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
It's about 25 before the hour. Weirdness abounds. It truly does. Mitt Romney, we mentioned him a second ago. He said a couple of days ago that the manager of the blind trust that has been in effect since he became governor, I guess, of Massachusetts, that blind trust, that is a big trust. That he, you know, it's a blind trust, and his fund manager, his blind trust manager, is sorting out the conflicts between his investments and what he says he really believes in when he's running for president. You see, Romney's trying to get the Christian Taliban vote also. In trying to get these right-wing psychopaths to vote for him, the Christian Taliban, Romney has opposed, for example, embryonic stem cell research. He has also called for government pension systems in this country to divest themselves of stock in companies linked to Iran, kind of like we progressives were screaming about back in the 80s about divesting funds that were linked to the apartheid government in South Africa. So Romney is just saying, well, anything linked to Iran, pension systems ought to get rid of that. The trustee for the Romney assets, Mr. Malt, said this week he has managed the blind trust without any direction from Romney. And he said he's tried to sell any stock in companies whose activities conflict with Romney's public stands. For example, he has tried to sell shares of stock in French and Italian energy companies that have business ties to Iran. However, the blind trust still owns about $100,000 in stock in China Petroleum and Chemical, which has been negotiating a multi-million-dollar deal to explore an Iranian oil field. Romney's blind trust also has about $250,000 in stock in Novo Nordisk, a pharmaceutical and healthcare company that conducts research on embryonic stem cells. The blind trust of Romney's wife of which Mr. Malt is also a trustee, invests in a fund that has stock in Millipore Corporation, which provides the stem cell lines to researchers. A spokesman for Mr. Romney said, getting rid of bad investments are a continuing process, and stressed that Romney's not allowed to influence any decisions by the trustee who runs the blind trust. However, the Romney spokesman said he didn't know what Mr. Malt specifically intended to do about the stock in Novo Nordisk or China Petroleum. Thanks to Suzanne who sent that in to me. It just cracks me up. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. These lying bastards. These hypocrites.
I don't think anybody should have anything to do with companies in doing business in Iran, except me. I have $250,000 in stock in a Chinese company that is exploring an Iranian oil field that I guess we're going to blow up as soon as George unleashes the bombers. I don't know. Oh, God. Now, let's find out how the Senate reacts to the cover of the October 8th, 2007 issue of the magazine American Conservative. On the cover, it has a photo of General David Petraeus under the headline, Sycophant Savior. The cover story is subheaded, General Petraeus wins a battle in Washington, if not in Baghdad. Now, beyond the headline, the American Conservative article criticizes Petraeus and the partisan political role he has chosen to play. The writer of the article, Andrew Basevich, describes Petraeus as, quote, a political general of the worst kind, one who indulges in the politics of accommodation that is Washington's bread and butter, but has thereby deferred a far more urgent political imperative, namely, bringing our military policies into harmony with our political purposes, end quote. And yeah, I have to go back and read that three times, too. The part that sticks out, political general of the worst kind. Oh, no! First it was MoveOn.org, and now it's Pat Buchanan's magazine, American Conservative? Oh, no! Mr. Basevich accuses Petraeus of deploying a strategy in Iraq that is designed to succeed politically in Washington, not militarily in Iraq. Let me see. That would be a betrayal, then, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be a betrayal? I think it would. Basevich writes, Petraeus has chosen a middle course, carefully crafted to cause the least amount of consternation among various Washington constituencies he is eager to accommodate. Washington constituency? I thought he was fighting a war. This is the politics of give and take, of horse trading, of putting lipstick on a pig. Ultimately, it is the politics of avoidance. Ooh, that's in the American Conservative magazine? Somebody better notify Mitch McConnell and the rest of these right-wing morons in the U.S. Senate. Basevich says that Petraeus's critics make a good case when they accuse him of, quote, relying on dubious statistics, with ignoring facts that he finds inconvenient, and with discovering trends where none exist. That's in the American Conservative. These critics question whether to credit the much-touted progress in Anbar province to American shrewdness or to the vagaries of Iraqi sectarian and tribal politics. They cite the pathetic performance of the corrupt and dysfunctional Iraqi government. They note the disparity between the Petraeus assessment and those offered by the intelligence community, by the Government Accountability Office, and by congressionally appointed Blue Ribbon Commissions. That sounds like betrayal. They point out that other highly qualified and well-informed senior military officers, notably General George Casey, the Army Chief of Staff, Admiral William Fallon, Commander of United States Central Command, have both publicly expressed views notably at odds with those of General Petraeus, writes Mr. Basevich. Uh-oh! First it was MoveOn.org with an ad, now it's the American Conservative with an entire article! Mr. Basevich then concludes in the American Conservative, politically, it all qualifies as a brilliant maneuver. The general's relationships with official Washington remain intact, yet he has broken faith with the soldiers he commands and the army to which he has devoted his life. He has failed his country. History will not judge him kindly. Oh, my God! He has broken faith with the soldiers he commands. Could that be betrayal? And the army to which he is... Could that be betrayal? He has failed his country. Could that be betrayal? Man, the things you read in the American Conservative magazine, huh? Damn. Now, of course, when MoveOn.org criticized Petraeus for the same stuff under the headline, General Petraeus or General Betrayus, cooking the books for the White House. Why, when that ad appeared in the New York Times, the Senate passed a resolution condemning the liberal group. Condemning the New York Times. You rotten sons of bitches! How could you do this? New York Times! New Move On! Yoo-hoo, boys. Republicans in the Senate. You gonna pass another resolution here? The resolution that was... whipped through the Senate, supported, I might add, by a number of Democrats, said in part, to express the sense of the Senate that General David Petraeus, commanding General Multinational Force Iraq, deserves the full support of the Senate, and strongly condemn personal attacks on the honor and integrity of General Petraeus and all members of the United States Armed Forces. Hey, Mitch McConnell. Hey, John Boehner. Hey, Boehner's not really a senator, but, you know, come on, you guys. Mount up. Get the posse together. It's time for another lynching. Let's go, boys. Come on. American Conservative Magazine said all that. It's astonishing, isn't it? Hey, I never heard of Deborah Kagan before. Have you? No, be honest. No. Okay. She is the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Coalition Affairs to Defense Secretary Robert Gates. Now, by the title, you can tell that she has about as much power in the Defense Department as I do, or as you do. A Deputy Assistant Secretary really means she's part of the steno pool, but she gets the title. She recently was at a soiree for visiting British MPs who had come to the Pentagon to discuss America's stance on Iran and Iraq. And they were treated to, I'll tell you when we come back. Deborah Kagan, look her up. And if you can get a picture of her, take a good look at that picture. Huh?
These words just every place I go. Who are these people? Who elected them? And how do I replace them with some of my friends? Can you hear me? Are you listening? No power without accountability. Are you listening? No power without accountability.
The next best thing to an impeachment hearing, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
10 before the hour. So, a bunch of British MPs went to the Pentagon to talk about Iran and Iraq and U.S. involvement there, more lies on Iran and all the dirty, filthy lies that cost so many American lives, so many British lives, so many coalition lives. And according to reports in the... Mail on Sunday, the of the UK newspaper, Daily Mail on Sunday of the UK, They were shocked, these MPs, to be told by one of Bush's senior women officials, quote, "I hate all Iranians," end quote. Look at a picture of this woman. Woo! I don't know, man. This is just... And she wears a German... what's it called? A war cross around her neck. If you look at the picture that's at mailonsunday.co.uk, if you find it, if you can find this, it was from the 29th of September, a couple days ago. Anyway, she also accused Britain of, her word, dismantling the English or the British U.S.-led coalition in Iraq by pulling its troops out of Basra too soon. You see, she, you know, somebody who has the title of Deputy Assistant Secretary for Coalition Affairs, and she's going to criticize the Brits because they've said, we've had enough, we know defeat when we can smell it. But it was her tone, according to the MPs, when they met her back on September 11th, that shocked them the most. One MP said, quote, "She seemed more keen on saying she didn't like Iranians than that the U.S. had no plans to attack Iran. She did say there were no plans for an attack, but the tone did not fit the words," end quote. Another MP said, quote, "I formed the impression that some in America are looking for an excuse to attack Iran. It was very alarming," end quote. One of the MPs, Stuart Graham, who is a Tory, was on the trip. He would not discuss Ms. Kagan, but he did say, quote, "It was very sobering to hear from the horse's mouth how the U.S. sees the situation," end quote. Kagan's job involves keeping the coalition in Iraq together. One MP said, she said, "If we leave the south of Iraq, the Iranians will take over. She's very forceful, and some of my colleagues were intimidated by her muscular style." Have you seen her picture yet? I wonder what her name used to be. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but when the Mail on Sunday spoke to four of the six MPs, three confirmed privately that she did make the remark. One declined to comment because he didn't want to wind up at Guantanamo. "I hate all Iranians. I hate all Jews. I hate all Catholics. I hate all Italians. I hate all Muslims. I hate all women who wear red coats with a iron cross around her neck." Woo! The German cross Kagan wears on her red plastic dress was awarded by Nazi government officials in Hungary, which was allied with Germany in both world wars. Not to say that all Hungarian politicians are Nazis. Oh my God. This is astonishing. There she is with the Iron Cross. Okay, well, that's right. She has that kind of that look too, that tomorrow belongs to us look, doesn't she? Huh? Have you seen that? Have you seen that, Kathy? Jawohl. Mein Herr.
See, when I saw that picture, I thought it was some sort of, I thought it was a farce. I thought it was probably not a woman.
Yeah, well, I thought it was some kind of a costume ball or something, and you know that. Mr. Kagan or Miss Kagan, well, I don't know, was just kind of doing a Giuliani thing, you know, dressing up and going to a party. But I may be wrong. It's just very strange, very strange. The strange part is her comment that she hates all Iranians and that she wears an iron cross. It looks like an iron cross. Is that what it is? Is that what an iron cross? Sure, it looks like it. Now, not only Miss Kagan, but also John Bolton, that psychopath who got a recess appointment to the UN to be our ambassador because even the Republicans would have confirmed him. And then he bowed out when the session came back because he knew that if he went before a congressional hearing or a Senate hearing to get confirmed, it would have asked him embarrassing questions of Mr. Bolton. But he joined in the pile on yesterday, Sunday, attacking British Prime Minister Gordon Brown for planning an effective withdrawal from Iraq. What's going on here is next Monday, Brown is expected to use his Commons statement before the British Parliament to tell the members of Parliament he will pull 2,000 troops out of Iraq
He's discussing this with the military, the British military, over this week. Bolton, the psychopath who Bush slammed into the UN for a while to see what kind of damage he could do, expressed his concern, saying, "I think it's a mistake for Britain to pull out troops. The surge strategy is the only coherent strategy there is. A precipitate withdrawal of the coalition, all or in part, is simply going to strengthen Iran in the region." They are really building up the case for war, aren't they? You have this Deborah Kagan, who hates all Iranians. The Jewish Iranians, the Christian Iranians, does she hate them? Or does she hate the little three-year-old children Iranians? Does she hate Iranian babies? Does she hate Iranian Catholic nuns? Does she hate Iranian Sufis who just want to dance? She hates all Iranians. What a jerkwad, psychopathic moron who ought to be pulled out of her job and tossed on the street. I hate all Iranians, especially the babies. I want to see them all burned. Christ! Bolton says that we've got to bomb Iran. We've got to, and he's very pissed off because the UN last week agreed to reopen negotiations and deferred the idea of hardening the sanctions against Iran, following opposition from Russia and China. But Bolton is saying, no, we have to kill them now, all the babies and the Catholics and the Jews in Iran and the Catholic nuns and Deborah Kagan. Oh, God, I love you. Oh, can you imagine Bolton and Kagan? Can you imagine her all dressed up with a huge horsewhip in her hand? Oh, do it again! Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. This is the Nova M Radio Network. My name is Mike Malloy. So, Deborah Kagan, the Assistant Deputy, possibly maybe someday Secretary, Assistant Secretary for Coalition Affairs to Defense Secretary Robert Gates, her picture and an article is in the mail on sunday.co.uk. Mail, M-A-I-L, on sunday.co.uk. There she is with an iron cross around her neck, which I believe has been banned in Germany, maybe some other countries. And William in Hollywood writes, what's in the center of her iron cross? It looks to me like maybe a vial of blood. It does. I swear to God, it does. I just noticed it. Oh, I hate all Iranians. I hate those Iranians. I hate all 30,000 Iranian Jews. I hate all the Catholics that are there. I hate the babies. I hate the children. I hate those beautiful Iranian children because every Iranian child is just gorgeous. There's something about Iranian children. They're just beautiful. Whereas me, I, the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Coalition Affairs to Robert Gates, I'm ugly! Not that there's anything wrong with that. I hate all Iranians. You know, I get it, Deborah. I get it. There are people in this country who hate all blacks. You all would probably get along real well together. Regarding Giuliani and Mitt Romney and, you know, the Christian Taliban in this country unable to vote for these people, and the Christian Taliban is threatening to find another candidate. Do it. Oh, God, please do it. Please do it. A.E. writes in, Mike, if the Republicans and the Christians split, that could be a good thing. Unfortunately, Unfortunately, the Democratic Party will never allow Al Gore to be their candidate instead of Hillary Clinton. Gore's best chance to become president would be as the Green Party candidate.
a united Republican Party candidate would have a better chance to beat Gore or Hillary. But if Gore becomes the Green Party candidate, it's a four-way split, and Gore likely would win. Yeah, I think he would, too. I think if Gore can just get the Democratic Party nomination, he'll win. He really will. And don't send me emails now and remind me that he was in the administration that signed off on NAFTA. I know all about, as much about Al Gore as I could possibly know and not be a member of his family. Okay, I've known about Al Gore since 1991. What year is this? 2007. Okay, I've got a picture of Tipper and me up here on the wall, right, Kathy? I went to D.C. in 93 when Hillary introduced her health care plan and actually hung out with the Gores. They thought I was a real radio person. Al Gore is the president we need right now. I think he's got the intestinal fortitude for what is facing this country, that he would have a chance to handle it and handle it properly. He certainly has had the experience. So, Gore Kucinich. I know. My heart is with Kucinich. My brain is with Gore. That's all. There's nothing wrong with that. If you remember, the U.S. Senate voted last Wednesday, was it, in favor of a resolution urging the State Department to designate the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, that's the center of the Iranian army, a terrorist organization. Remember, remember that? Jesus, God. This is the same group that passed a resolution deciding to call French fries freedom fries. You know, same group. Anyway, yesterday, on Saturday, Iran's parliament responded and voted to designate the CIA and the U.S. Army as terrorist organizations. Now, of course, it doesn't mean anything. It's a symbolic response to our guys' resolution designated Iran's Revolutionary Guards terrorist organization. But there's a difference here. The language in the U.S. Senate resolution was fairly vague where it concerned the reasons. There's stuff like, well, they support Hamas, or is it the other one? Well, they use poison gas on their neighbors. No, wait, that was Iraq. Whatever. It was kind of vague. They're providing weaponry to blow up our soldiers. It was just kind of vague. But the Iranian parliament was not vague. They said that the U.S. Army and the U.S. CIA were terrorists because of the atomic bombing of Japan, the use of depleted uranium munitions in the Balkans, in Afghanistan, and in Iraq, support for the killing of Palestinians by Israel, the bombing and killing of Iraqi civilians, and the torture of imprisoned terror suspects. Woo! Boing! Score 5 for the Iranians. Isn't that hell when your enemy scores points? You know, when the visiting team comes on your field and kicks your ass? That's awful. Huh? That's all. They left out that we overthrew their a freely elected government in 1953. I mean, if they're going to go back to 45 and the atomic bombing of Japan, what about the overthrow of their government in 53 and the establishment of the SAVAK, the secret police that spent the next 30 years torturing the bejesus out of Iranians? The resolution said the aggressor U.S. Army and the Central Intelligence Agency are terrorists and also nurture terror. Well, it wasn't unanimous. Of the 290 members of the Iranian parliament, only 215 lawmakers signed the resolution. Wow. Ahmadinejad is back in Tehran after his U.S. tour and Latin American tour. He said the hostile reception received at Columbia University failed to damage Iran's image, and instead hurt the U.S., especially our prestige abroad. Absolutely. You know, inviting someone to come to your university and speak, and then when you know, the president of the university gets on stage with him and says, okay, you're here to speak, you filthy, rotten, murderous son of a bitch. Or something like that.
Ahmadinejad, you remember when he addressed the General Assembly last week, said his country would defy any attempt to impose new sanctions by what he called arrogant powers seeking to curb Iran's nuclear program, and said, to hell with you, it's over, it's a closed subject. Well. See, it's always hell when they get specific, right? I mean, we can say, well, Iran's a terrorist state because they're sending stuff over the border that is being used to kill our guys. Now, see, you and I don't know if that's true or not. And the American intelligence says, well, look, here it says made in Iran. Yeah, but that's in English. Well, that does pose a problem, doesn't it? Whereas the Iranians come right back and say, okay, you think we're terrorists? You're a terrorist. No, you are. No, your mama is. Here's why you are. Nuclear bombing of two civilian centers in Japan. Nuclear wasting of the Balkans and Iraq and Afghanistan with the use of depleted uranium. Torture, rendition, support for the apartheid attitude against the Palestinians in what they consider to be their own country. Whether right or wrong, the Palestinians consider to be their country. Hey, this is our country. Shut up and get in the prison. So it's rough, isn't it, when somebody levels a charge against you and is specific after you've leveled a charge against them, same charge, and have been only vague. What else do we have here? Speaking of religion, the Taliban in Afghanistan and Jewish groups in the United States, according to the Associated Press, according to Haaretz, this is where I found the story. More than $24 million went out last Friday to mostly Jewish nonprofit organizations in major cities across the U.S. This is anti-terror funds. Because the federal government in the U.S. considers them, the Jewish nonprofit organizations, to be at high risk of terror attacks. The Homeland Security Department decided which nonprofits would receive the 308 grants based on threat and risk information. Organizers in Chicago and New York were the top recipients. The funds are to be used to increase security and screening systems. The grants went to medical centers, schools, temples, and synagogues. One grant went to an Islamic organization in Miami. Really? How did that slip through? Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
The Mike Malloy Show. Talk radio matters here.
It's crazy, isn't it? 21 past the hour. Anyway, back to the religion here. The Jews and the Taliban. The Jews in this country, Taliban in Afghanistan. According to Haaretz, the Israeli newspaper, the Jewish organizations in the U.S. received the bulk of the funding. That Jewish organizations received the bulk of the funding does not mean there are any new or heightened threats against Jewish Americans, according to the Homeland Security Department. Okay, well then, never mind, I don't want to ask that question. A Department of Homeland Security spokesman, Russ Nock, said, quote, one faith group is not necessarily at greater risk than another. Risk is often circumstantial and it is constantly evolving, end quote. Wow, man. I bet you Russ is a lawyer, huh? Anyway, Haaretz goes on, while most of the grants went to Jewish organizations, the department found other nonprofits, such as American Red Cross in the District of Columbia and St. Michael's Medical Center in New Jersey, are at risk as well. The disaster coordinator for the hospital, St. Michael's Medical Center in New Jersey, said Harper Hutzel Hospital, part of the Detroit Medical Center, received funding to upgrade its computer systems to increase video surveillance. Ms. Attis said the hospital has not received any specific threats, but that Detroit has one of the largest Arab populations in the country, and that makes it vulnerable. To what? Oh, I see. Americans of Arab descent who live in Detroit are going to blow up a hospital. Oh, okay. The Miami-based American Muslims for Emergency and Relief also received a grant this year. The director said Islamic centers across the country are vandalized, and his organization is also vulnerable. He said, myself, I receive threats, different people calling and say, go back to your country or I will kill you. Michael Chertoff said, risk is not exclusive to political jurisdictions or critical infrastructure in explaining why religious organizations are getting money. $24 million. Now, okay, that takes care of Jews in America. How about Muslims in, or Taliban, which are, what, super Muslims in, in Kabul, Afghanistan, or not in Kabul, but in Afghanistan. President Hamid Karzai there, the former Unocal oil company consultant, offered 2 days ago to put the Taliban leader, Mullah Omar, into his cabinet. He wants to. Yeah, Hamid Karzai. I wonder if Bush knows about this. Hamid Karzai said he would like to meet with, what do we used to say? Mullah Muhammad Omar. Is that the same guy? Okay. For peace talks and give the militants, the Taliban, a high position in a government ministry as a way to end the insurgency in Afghanistan. Karzai also said he is willing to meet with warlord leader and former prime minister Gulbuddin Hekmatyar. Was he a prime minister when? During the rush? I don't know. Karzai said, if I find their address, there is no need for them to come to me. I'll personally go there and get in touch with them. If he finds their address? Holy God! This guy really has been breathing in too many gasoline fumes. If I find their address, I'll go there. Mullah Muhammad Omar, is he the one that the CIA and everything, isn't he the one who sits at what's his name's left knee? What's his name? Osama bin Laden? If I find their address, I'll go there and get into that. He then, Hamid Karzai then says, esteemed Mullah, sir, and esteemed Hekmatyar, sir, why are you destroying the country? Well, Hamid, isn't it NATO forces who apparently took the wrong turn at, I don't know, Berlin and somehow wound up in Afghanistan? Aren't they the ones destroying the country? I very seldom, esteemed President Hamid Karzai, hear of wedding parties being blown up by Taliban bombers. I don't know, maybe it happens, but I don't hear about it. Of course, I have to deal with a liberal press over here, liberal news media over here. So, you know, I don't know. Not that I'm defending the Taliban. You know my feeling about religious fanatics. Hamid then went on to say, if a group of Taliban or a number of Taliban come to me and say, President, we want a department or this in this or in that ministry, and we want a position as deputy minister, and we don't want to fight anymore. If, Karzai said, there will be a demand and a request like that to me, I will accept it, because I want conflicts and fighting to end in Afghanistan. And then he went on to point out that the roads in Afghanistan are not paved, there's no electricity, there's no good water. The only thing they have going for them is an awful lot of money coming into the Taliban from the dope trade. And Karzai points out the obvious. He would like just to make peace, but of course his handlers, Bush and Cheney, won't stand for any of that nonsense. Are you kidding? In this war, so straight ahead, knock 'em dead. Pack your kit, choose your hypocrite. You don't have to go to off-Broadway to see something.
see.
Fine looking bird, isn't it?
This Deborah Kagan is, I just can't get her out of my mind.
Are you sure it's not Darren Kagan?
No. Darren Kagan was the CNN ex.
Looks just like her.
Well, no, Darren Kagan was attractive, please.
Without the makeup.
In a very masculine. Well, I used to do makeup with Darren Kagan every Thursday morning, remember?
When That's so special.
When Bort said, never mind. Every once in a while I get an email that just makes me laugh to the point where during my little 3 or 4 minute break, I have tears coming down my eyes. Ron in Briarwood sent me one. I don't. Well, maybe you won't think it's funny, but I just sat here and cracked up. Ron writes... in the subject line, Deborah Kagan is Frau Blücher. And then in parentheses, sound of horses going wild in stables. And then he writes, when I saw that picture of Deborah Kagan, I could only think, that's Frau Blücher. Sound of horses going wild in stables. You remember Frau Blücher. Sound of horses going wild in stables. She was the authoritarian Nazi housekeeper in the movie Young Frankenstein. And we thought it was scary having Oliver North in the Reagan White House. Oh, my effing God. Ron. Yeah, that's... I think Ron must be a script writer or something. He's got to be... sound of horses. Oh, God. I'm sorry. We are very unfocused tonight, aren't we, Kathy? This program is just like... I don't know. I feel like an electric pool ball just pew, pew, ricocheting around the table. But I can't get Deborah Kagan out of my mind here. This is just unbelievable. In a more serious note, Richard writes in regarding the charge by the Iranian parliament that the U.S. CIA and the U.S. military is a terrorist organization. Richard writes in, remember a U.S. ship shot down an Iranian 747. Remember that? I think that was during the Iraq-Iran war, and we just blew a jetliner. It wasn't a military ship. It was a jetliner. Iranian jetliner blew it out of the sky over the Persian Gulf, and, 200 people went to their deaths. Richard writes, I read that the captain of that ship received a medal as a result. I didn't know about that, but, yeah, I'd forgotten that one. And on an even further serious note, Jan in Mill Valley, California writes, subject line is U.S. hypocrisy, and Jan writes, the U.S. will use as justification for their forthcoming attack on Iran dubious claims that Iranian weapons are being used to kill American soldiers in Iraq. First of all, if the American soldiers were not in Iraq, participating in a war based on lies and mendacity, they would not be killed or maimed or have to kill other people who never harmed our country. However, considering all the times that U.S. weapons have killed citizens of other countries, the U.S. claim against Iraq reeks of hypocrisy. It wasn't too long ago that the U.S. government armed and trained the Mujahideen in Afghanistan who were fighting the Soviet invaders. According to the U.S. justification for an attack on Iran, the Soviet Union then had every justification for an attack on the U.S. In the 1980s, the U.S. supplied the terrorist Contras in Nicaragua, who were responsible for a multitude of terrorist attacks against the civilian population of Nicaragua. Nicaragua was too weak to retaliate against the suppliers of terror. Iran may not be. Jan in Mill Valley. Yeah, see, this is the hard part. This is what makes it difficult. I'm an American, and I was brought up pledging allegiance to the wall. I was brought up singing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. I was brought up to believe in democracy and all that sort of stuff. I really was. I'm not trying to be a cynic here. But I was also brought up to have at least a passing interest in trying to find out the truth, not to be a jingoist, not to be, you know, I read so much about how the German people allowed 6 million to go to the gas chambers and another 44 million to be slaughtered on battlefields around the planet. and how the good German people could allow such a thing to happen. And I read it from their perspective, too. After the humiliation of World War I and the Treaty of Versailles and what happened to the German people, reparations on a scale that immediately, well, not immediately, but over the course of the next 5 or 6 years, turned their money into nothing, into dust. And the starvation and the depression and the horror that the Germans went through subsequent to World War I. And then the, World War II was Act Two of World War I. But trying to understand all that, trying to understand how did the Germans allow that to happen, made me take a look at my own role and the role of the United States, and especially after World War II. When the new enemy was declared, and that would be Soviet communism. And what we did as a nation, as a people, in the great game against the Soviets, and how many millions of people had to die because the battle was against socialism and capitalism, two economic systems. One totalitarian, obviously, one totalitarian, not so obviously. And to criticize... Or not criticize, but to acknowledge the truth of claims against us by countries like Nicaragua, the Philippines, Iran. I don't have time to go down the list. How many countries have we terrorized, brutalized, overthrown their governments, supported their dictatorships so that we could do business there? No less a hero than twice Medal of Honor decorated General Smedley Butler. Wrote all kinds of stuff about how he was a stooge. A double Congressional Medal of Honor winner. So, anyway, to make a long story even more pointless, it is difficult for me sometimes to say to myself, okay, here the Iranian parliament is identifying us as a terrorist nation. Okay, and you know that I don't want to say it hurts. It's like, ooh, that doesn't feel good. But if you look at the post World War II history of the United States, how in the hell else would you identify us? Seriously. And it's all been couched in the terms of, now I'm not talking about the Marshall Plan. The Marshall Plan was a good thing. And there has been some reconstruction, but you have to, subsequent to World War II, but you have to wonder, what was the motive? What was the ulterior? Was there an ulterior motive? But after, my God, once it became clear that the Soviet Union and the United States were going to bump asses in a very serious way all over the planet, two global superpowers with nuclear weapons and the wherewithal to end everything. And then it began. So as far as, pick a country in Africa where the United States is not seen, sub-Saharan Africa. Well, hell, the entire country, the entire continent, where the United States is not seen as a terrorist organization. Pick one. Hello? Pick one. Because Americans, the Peace Corps and some relief organizations, Catholic organizations, relief organizations try to struggle against this horror of poverty and illness in Africa, but all over the continent. But what is the normal encounter with the United States in any country in Africa, other than South Africa? It's with our oil companies. Our capitalism, our businesses. And what do we want? We want the same thing that Belgium wanted. We want the same thing that the Germans wanted, that the English wanted. We just want to exploit them. We don't give a damn. We don't give a goddamn about Africa as a continent. We don't care about how many people know. I remember that phone call I had one time, Kathy. I was talking about Egypt, and I said the second largest recipient of the U.S. foreign aid is an African nation, and the woman called in and said, "You're crazy, it's Egypt." I remember that. We don't know. We don't know anything. So, anyway, I just wanted to point that out. It is a little bit uncomfortable, but the truth is uncomfortable, isn't it, sometimes? It is uncomfortable to acknowledge over the course of my radio career, such as it is, over the past 22, 23 years, to acknowledge time and time and time and time again where the United States military or the CIA or the DIA or whatever the hell organization we were using was acting in fact as a terrorist organization, slaughtering, torturing, blowing up, overthrowing, destroying, to what? Advance freedom? Hell no! To advance what Smedley Butler talked about 100 years ago. Corporate America. That's hard. That's hard. That's tough. That's tough. That really is. And if that constitutes and boils down as we are a Christian nation, oh my goodness. Jesus is going to be so pissed off when he comes back. Huh? He's going to be so pissed off. He's going to come back probably armed with a couple of AK-47s and a magic shield and just start blasting. You think? Terrorist nation. It's hard to deal with, isn't it? It is. It's hard to deal with. We'll be back after the break. We're getting very close to phone calls. So if you are interested, the number here is 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. Do join us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Do not go gently into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
It is about 9 minutes before the hour. Let us take some phone calls here. Let's start with Mike, who is listening in Minneapolis via XM Satellite Radio. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Mike. You know, I noticed that 9/11 has become such a taboo subject, not even Alex Jones is talking about it. I think Giuliani is the only guy I've heard say anything about 9/11, and it's funny because I think most people in 9/11 truth movement see Giuliani as being in on 9/11.
Oh, really? I've never. I know a lot of folks in different organizations who would like the truth to come out about 9/11, but that's the first I've heard that Giuliani knew anything about it. Because don't forget, Giuliani ran the clear and certain risk of dying himself on that awful day. So I wouldn't. Nah, I don't think I can handle that.
Hey, there's a movie that's going on the internet. It's called Zeitgeist. Have you seen that movie, Mike?
Zeitgeist? Oh, yeah.
Zeitgeist?
No, Zeitgeist.
Zeitgeist?
Yeah, Z-E-I-T-G-E-I-S-T, Zeitgeist. Yes, I've seen it. It's very interesting. The only, I've told a couple of people, we talked about it one night on the program, the last third of the movie, it's in three sections, and the last third to me is a bunch of bat squeeze. Now, in saying that, I may only be displaying my own ignorance, but, you know, when they get into, you know, everything is run by a group of six people who live in a castle in Moritz, Switzerland or something, Saint Moritz, I can't do that. I can't write it all off to the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and, you know,
well,
the secret societies and the Council on Foreign Relations and the Illuminati and I can't go there, Mike.
Well, I mean, I look left and I see conspiracies. I look right and I see conspiracies. So I don't know what to believe anymore. Yeah, I'd rather believe the conspiracies, Mike.
Yeah, I know. Well, they're a lot more entertaining. I'm not denying that at all. I'm just saying that you know, if the Illuminati were as involved in everything as some people charge them to be, when the hell would they have time to go to the bathroom or you know, have lunch, you know?
Yeah. Wow.
Hey, listen, I hear you loud and clear. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. No, Giuliani's not going to be elected anything. I think he's doing this to impress. Is it his third or fourth wife? Not that there's anything wrong with trying to impress your third or fourth wife.
You know, Darren Kagan looks a lot like Rudy Giuliani when you think about it.
You know, your microphone is still screwed up. I hope it's not going over the air the way it's coming into my headphones. Oh, well. Bob is calling from Tupelo, Mississippi, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Bob.
What's up, Mike?
You are.
Yeah, I look, you saying that we're terrorists or that the government in the military is terrorists. We're not terrorists, we're imperialists, right?
Well, but if you commit acts of terror...
acts of terror? We're using traditional warfare. We may bring terror with bombs, with bombers and tanks and guns, but we ain't using no car bombs. It's dropping bombs across our chest and nothing like that.
Oh, okay. So
we're not using guerrilla warfare. Yeah, we're spreading terror, but war is terror.
You don't think that what we did in Afghanistan against the Russians or in Nicaragua against the Sandinistas or in the Philippines?
That was during the Cold War. It was do or die situation then.
That didn't count, huh?
No, it was do or die situation.
Do or die about
what? You
got to
play the part. You got to play the part you're in.
Wait. Do or die about what?
Do or die. Win
about
or lose.
What?
Win or lose. You got to play the part you're in.
No, wait. Do or die about what?
Win or lose is basically what I'm saying.
All right, you're not making any sense, Bob, and I wish you could make sense, but you're not making any sense. Do or die. That's exactly what I'm talking about. The headbutting between the United States and the Soviet Union resulted in many acts of terrorism by them too. I mean, I'm not Jesus. Every country they invaded in Eastern Europe was terrorism. Every act they committed against East Germany was an act of terror. Don't misunderstand. You're not listening. And maybe you have a reason for not listening or not hearing. Is what, obviously, you're listening, but you're not hearing. In saying that we have been in many instances, acted as a terrorist organization is factually correct if you identify terrorism the way it's being identified now. And we were doing it because we were in a headbutting contest with the Soviets. They were doing the same thing. How many people died? How many people did Mao kill as a result of his internal terrorism in China? But, we are not the Onward Christian Soldiers good guys. We don't eat apple pie and kiss our mummies and take our teddy bears to bed and pray to Jesus every night that everything is okay. That's not what we have done for the past 70 years. We have brutalized, butchered, murdered, overthrown governments, killed people, tortured people, invaded countries, slaughtered 2.5-3 million Indochinese. I mean, just on and on and on. Come on, grow up. You can handle it. Just face the truth. If you want to call that imperialism, call it anything. Call it spaghetti. I don't give a damn. But the fact is, by the definitions... that most people who can define terms, what we did over a 70-year period, and a 100-year period, was absolute terrorism. Absolute terrorism. Central America, I'll tell you what, look up United Fruit Company. Go read Smedley Butler. Take a look at the history of the United States since the Spanish-American War of 1898. No, you don't start there. Look at the terrorism we perpetrated against the native... Oh, never mind. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
night. I'm an old-fashioned bug.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. My name is Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Thank you for... you still here? Jesus. We're in the third hour of the program. You people don't have anything better to do except hang out here? Bless your heart. Thank you very much. Back to your phone calls. The number here is 800-989-1480. Chuck is calling from Knoxville, Tennessee, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
All right. I wanted to talk about this Rush Limbaugh comment.
Oh, about the phony soldiers?
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? The man had a boil on his butt, found an excuse to go home, not do his part for our country, then goes around telling other people how if somebody has a different philosophy about how to treat other people, being to say humanely,
yeah,
then he's a phony soldier.
He can die.
He can lose his arm. He can lose his brain. He can lose anything, but he's still a phony soldier. Such bravery and courage from a radio seat. You know, it's amazing to me.
You know what really gets me is that after having made a statement like that, and Rush Limbaugh is carried on Armed Forces Radio Network. An hour of his program every day is carried on Armed Forces Radio Network. But after having made a statement like that, a blanket statement about any soldier who protests this war, in other words, any soldier who goes into a combat zone, manages to survive, sees what is going on, understands fully that he and the rest of his unit were lied into this war, understands that he is being asked to kill people that never did anything to us, that he runs the risk of never going home to see his family again, and when he gets out, he survives all that and gets out and says, look, this is not a just situation. You know, whether I'm regular Army or Reserve or National Guard is immaterial here. You know, I put on the uniform, I took the oath for whatever my reason was, but this is not legit. And then to have some pig like Limbaugh insult that man or woman by calling that person a phony soldier, I just wonder what is stopping his audience from tuning him out and saying, all right, you went too far this time, Rush. Do you have any idea, Chuck? What is, you know, why hasn't his audience just left?
I tell you, I sat out here on the road. I've been out here now for 7 years. I listen to the right wingers out here on the radio call people who are on the left traitors.
Right.
And essentially that's what he's saying to that soldier out there who doesn't believe what he believes.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is this soldier has done all the things you're talking about, made all these sacrifices, and he's sitting out there, and the only thing he can listen to is this hogwash that's being shoved into his brain, insulting his intelligence all the time. He's just getting hotter and madder and madder and hotter about the fact that he's been so screwed.
Yeah.
And he's been so lied to about the whole thing when his whole purpose of going over there was genuine. It was from the heart, and he was ready to lay down his body and soul for a cause. It's just, it's amazing to me the level of audacity.
Yeah.
And when you point all this out on the road out here, the other day I was having a conversation, and I tell you what, the gloves are off, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Democrat. I've been a Democrat for a while. I was a Republican a long time ago. I gave up on the Republicans a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I've sat and watched the Democrats give the Republicans in every corner, give them the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
Give them a lot of room to play because they recognize that the only way you're going to get most Republicans, I'm not talking about the ultra rich that have an agenda,
mm-hmm.
have something to gain. I'm talking about the average Joe Republican out there
mm-hmm.
who generally does not have any college. Okay, he doesn't know his history, he doesn't know politics, he doesn't know economics. All he knows is how to earn a paycheck and run his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this is all about. And I'm sorry, but the gloves are off, okay? It's time to set him straight. It's time to tell him that he's ignorant. It's time to tell him that he may be strong of body, but he's extremely, extremely weak of mind. Mm-hmm. And that he needs to either shut up and go back to school and get an education so he knows what he's doing when he votes, or sit home, shut up, and let the people who do know what's going on vote and straighten out this country, straighten out the mess that he's created.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm done.
Well, I hear you, Chuck, and I do appreciate what you had to say. I damn sure agree. I've said it before. I can remember Republicans in my family, in my neighborhood as a kid growing up, who seemed to be decent people. They believed, I don't know what they believed. I wasn't that tuned into them back then. I mean, you know, what 12 or 13 or 14-year-old really is tuned into all that. Well, some are, but, I wasn't. But they seemed like decent people. I had Republicans in my family, you know, but they were not like these Republicans or conservatives. This crop that's been out here since Reagan, I guess since Reagan, maybe since Goldwater had his ass handed to him in 1964, maybe that's what did it. But these are not Republicans. These are Nazis. They use the name Republican. They use the term conservative. But they hate this country, and they'll do anything they can to destroy it, even if it means cutting their own throats. That's the part I've never been able to completely understand about these so-called modern Republicans. Oh, well. Anyway, thanks for checking in, pal. Doug is calling from Washington State, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Doug.
Wow, I'm on. This is great. Yeah. Thank you, Mike.
Sure.
I take this as a privilege. You know?
Okay.
So let's talk.
All right, let's do it.
You know, I'm going to probably make a statement that I haven't paid income tax since 1982.
Yeah?
I was so upset about what we did in El Salvador. I mean, Chile, Argentina, all this stuff was just building up. And then here we were dealing with peasants that all they wanted was 1 acre of land and to grow their crops and send their kids to school, enjoy their life, and we had to support dictators and give them all the military weapons, send them to the School of America to make sure they understood exactly how to deal with their peasant uprisings,
right.
and then we destroy them, you know? So I just quit. I just went, oh, my God, I can't do this anymore, and I'm not going to buy one more hand grenade. And that's exactly what happened. I had to pay a dear price for it, but I did it, and I don't feel bad about it. Now I look back 25 years. The thing that bothers me is that we have people like, oh, you know, the Maverick Marine, as you know, Smedley Butler. What a great read.
Right.
If anybody out there would just read, which most people don't, they would, I mean, it's an easy read because the guy's fascinating. But what he had to say about the banana republics and what he had to do for corporate America, amazing.
Yeah.
And then you get Noam Chomsky, who comes out with all this documented evidence. You get Clemmers Johnson. You get Howard Zinn. I mean, the books, everything that is out there, people should be completely in an uproar about how we live comfortably, but we live comfortably on the back of indigenous people. That's all there's to it.
That's that's so true, and I just wish that that we Americans, starting in I don't know, maybe around the sixth grade, which would be about 11 years old, 12 years old, I just wish that we could get the truth in our education system, and it's getting to the point now where it's hard to get the truth in high school. It's getting harder and harder to get the truth at university because of the pressure from the right wing. Doug, thanks, man. I got to move on. I hope to hear from you again. Take care, pal. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Well, shall we? The Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. Talk radio matters here.
You know, I wanted to bring it up when Ahmadinejad was in the United States. He asked a fairly logical question that I think deserves an answer. And Lance just in an email just reminded me of that question. And I think this is something that Noam Chomsky tried to address, and even Rabbi Meir Kahana, who wanted to drive every Palestinian out of Palestine, Israel, asked the same question. But Ahmadinejad asked the question, why should the Palestinians be made to pay for the Holocaust? And, you know, I've never heard that question debated on a rational... I'm not talking about people screaming across the divide at each other about this, but... You know, now I understand the immediate answer, the theological answer that, you know, the Jews figure that, you know, God made a covenant with them and gave them the so-called promised land when Moses led his people out of bondage. And that was theirs. Here you go. But it still doesn't answer the question. Why are the Palestinians, which in fact... You know, the collective guilt and shame that that the world felt, most of the world felt, when the truth of the Holocaust was starting to be revealed. And I can remember as a kid, I never heard anything about such an atrocity until about, I don't know, it was in the mid-50s before it started to leak out on a level where... I, as a fifth or sixth grader, could understand it. I don't remember the Jewish kids in the schools I went to talking about it until all of a sudden it seemed like, boom, here it comes. And it was horrifying. And I read everything I could get my hands on about it, everything from Elie Wiesel to the book Treblinka to just on and on and on and on, how such a thing could happen in a supposedly civilized world. It was just shocking to me. I could, even now, you know, when I think about families being put on those trains and taken to Auschwitz and Dachau and Bergen-Belsen and Treblinka and Sobibor and on and on and on. It's just like, oh my God. So the collective shame and guilt. And how many boatloads of Jews that tried to flee Germany before the death camps kicked in were turned away by Americans, by the British, by the French, by everybody? Nah, sorry. The boat that sat at anchor off Cuba, waiting, desperately waiting for some kind of, full of Jews, for some kind of a accommodation by the Cuban government through the United States, just instance after instance after instance. And it's horrifying. But the question still remains, why are the Palestinians? The only people on earth who are being forced to deal with this in the manner that they were, all of the collective shame and guilt I guess I should qualify this and say, of the Western world. All the co-conspirators, the Germans, the British, the French, the Americans, the Canadians, everyone who knew about this and allowed it to go on, about the Holocaust, about the persecution, the death camp, or not persecution, but the death camps, the slaughter. And yet, the Palestinians were the ones who've had to carry the entire weight. Nobody's ever answered that question for me, and I think for Ahmadinejad to ask that question is a fair question. It's an historical question. It needs an answer. And immediately, to me, there is no answer. There is no logical, rational reason. why the full weight of the horror the Jews suffered in Europe in the 30s and 40s has to be borne by the Palestinians. If you want to give me a good answer, if you want to email me an answer, fine. If it's not too long or too weird, I'll read it on the air. Whatever. But it's a legitimate question, whether it's asked by Lance in Manhattan or Ahmadinejad in Iran or there's no Holocaust denial there. There's no illegitimate question in asking why the Palestinians are the people who have to bear the entire Western world's collective guilt and shame for what they did by allowing 6 million to die the way they died. I'm sorry. Getting morose and maudlin, and we never do that on this program. Your phone calls, when we come back, I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Now I get my hash from putting crackheads in the pan.
I learned my foreign policy from my old man.
If a dictator's in trouble, then you give a helping hand.
If you're fighting for your freedom, then I'm your man.
But you'll be out of luck if you're a Palestinian.
Faster than a flying monkey, more powerful than a special prosecutor, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Well, that's awfully nice of you to say that. By the way, if you want, how to put this, so many times I guess we choose not to read all the stuff we've been talking about tonight that is so available to read about. Excuse me, the guy who called in about Smedley Butler, and there's so many things to read. But if you're not inclined to do that, what about DVDs? What about video presentations of some of these very, very progressive ideas, documentaries and stuff? This is a plug for our friends over at TVNewsLies.org. TVNewsLies.org. They've got hundreds of documentaries. And most of them can be had for a donation. You don't have to, spend $30 to buy one. So I'm just saying, if it occurred to me that there, I'm sure you've seen, if you do a Google on, for example, 9/11, there are all sorts of documentaries that will pop up. All kinds of places that you can, but TVNewsLies.org, it's more than that. It's they've got just all sorts of stuff. So check them out if you want to. Like I said, it's a plug. I'm giving a plug because I like the website and I like what they write. And, like I talk about fairywoodland.com because I like what they do, the art that they do. I like the politics that you find at TVNewsLies.org. So check them out. All right, go ahead. Just do it. Just do it. You don't have to make it. Just go to TVNewsLies.org and click the donate button at the top, and poof, you'll see all the DVDs that are available. Oh, just do it.
What's he pushing on us tonight, Maud? I don't know. TV News Lies. What does that mean?
Apparently, Deborah Kagan, I'm just getting more information on Deborah Kagan tonight than I could ever imagine. Like I said, we started talking about her. Sorry, I didn't mean to clear my throat in your ear there. When we started talking, I never heard about her. But someone who is a deputy to an assistant secretary for coalition affairs, it really doesn't wield that much power. I had somebody email me and said, well, people who do that are gatekeepers. They decide the agenda. I don't think so. I think they that's true with the congressional aides, but not something at Defense Department. So I will respectfully disagree with that emailer. Deborah Kagan is a gopher. She's I'm sure she's she could be possibly not a policy wonk, but she may be given a policy to develop and then does the research for someone who will then put it together and becomes part of defense policy. But in reading about her, all the stuff that I've kind of force-fed myself today, because when I saw that story, I hate all Iranians, USA tells members of parliament. I hate all Iranians. You're just like, wow, that is so over the top. I mean, even John Bolton doesn't say that. Even Chertoff doesn't say that. I don't know, the president of Israel doesn't say that. So when you come up with somebody who is in the government of the United States and in the War Department who makes that kind of a statement, it's like, wow, what the heck? I hate all Iranians. Now, what would be the obvious response if this weren't like junior high? Would be to fire her ass and the rest of her anatomy too. Get her the hell out of policy making section of the Defense Department. My God. Goodbye. You're gone, Kagan. Get her out. But you know what will really happen? She'll probably use the deputy and become the assistant secretary for coalition affairs to Robert Gates. In other words, she'll be promoted. There is something about Republicans that they love Nazi women. You notice that? Whether it's Ann Coulter or someone like this or this shrieking freak that ran for the Senate in the former Secretary of State in Florida or this woman who ran for Congress in Ohio, there's something that Republican men, I don't know about Republican women, but Republican women for the most part are ordered to stay home and don't vote. But Republican men, the more Nazi-like, the more camp commander-like women are, the more Republicans just seem to, you know, fall apart. Republican men, they just fall apart over these kind of women. I'm wrong? You know I'm not wrong. It's absolutely true. As far as stereotypes, well, okay, so what? Take a look at Ann Coulter. Take a look at Deborah Kagan. Take a look at, what was her name, the Secretary of State in Florida? Catherine Harris. Take a look at some of these people. Jawohl. And you tell me what they look like. We have ways of making you appreciate what we are saying. I'm sorry, if you happen to be German, I mean no offense. But, you know, like a typical liberal talk show host, I always stereotype and lump people together, just like Deborah does. I hate all Iranians, she says. I hate all Iranians. That is a real global statement when you stop and think about it. Even those cute little Iranian babies that Cheney and Bush want to incinerate and turn into little crispy critters. Just burn them. Burn them. And as I mentioned earlier in the program, you hate all Iranians. What is it that you hate about them? Do you hate the Iranian rabbis? Do you hate the Iranian Catholic priests? Do you hate the Iranian imams who do nothing but pray to Allah and really don't give a tinker's damn about the U.S. or their own leadership, their own, what a statement. Deborah Kagan should be fired. She should be fired tomorrow. She should be removed. Let her go to work for the Heritage Foundation. She'd fit in great over there. Let her go to work for a Republican think tank. Let her go to work at a Regency University or whatever, Robertson, one of those fake universities where she, you know, let her teach a history course someplace. Let her teach the creationism, but get her the hell out of the U.S. government, don't you think? I hate all Iranians, and I am the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Coalition Affairs to Secretary Robert Gates. Wow. So she'll be promoted. Watch. Watch what happens. She'll drop off the radar. Unless she's fired tomorrow. If she's not fired tomorrow, she'll drop off the radar. And then 6 months from now, you and I will be talking about something, and her name will come up again, and we'll find out that somehow she's gotten into a position where she's the one who ordered the nuclear bombs to fall onto Iran. You watch. Back to your phone calls. Phil is calling from San Diego, listening on KLSD. Hey, Phil.
Yeah, good evening, Mike. I'll make it quick. I hope Chuck's still listening. He was the...
Oh, the guy that was real pissed off about Limbaugh and the phony soldier stuff, yeah.
Yeah, because I heard Randy Rhodes, man, she was right on the mark today because she was in the Air Force, and she said something that really, like, put that Limburger in his place because she said she doesn't believe that that was the way he avoided the draft because she had one of those, and her sister had one, too, because it's hereditary.
Oh, yeah?
And she still got in the military. They didn't let her skip out. So she didn't use that as an excuse, but he did.
Yeah. Yeah, and, well, you know, all Republican men who are now in their 50s or 60s are essentially, and especially ones in media or government, are essentially cowards. Now, I'm saying virtually all of them, not all of them, but so many of them. The Limbaughs, the Hannitys, the Michael Savages, all these people are essentially cowards. They're afraid of everything. They're afraid of people of different religions, different racial groups. They're afraid of big dogs. They're afraid of the dark. They're afraid of spiders and worms. They're just terrified. And they, you know, immunize themselves or protect themselves with lots and lots and lots of money. And then they sit back and make statements like that. But they are essentially cowards. If you've known cowards in your life, and we all have, people like Limbaugh define cowardice, no matter
Thanks
what they
for those
do.
Websites. I'm going to check them out. The ones that TV News lies and the
TV News TVNewsLies.org. Yeah,
.org. Okay.
.org.
Fairy Woodland, is that a .net or .org or .com?
Fairywoodland.com.
.com.
Yeah.
I'll leave you with this. I don't know if you know this song, "Be True to Your School," but there's a part in there where they go, rah, rah, cyst, Limbaugh.
Yeah,
right. Righty, man.
You can get to TV News Lies by going .com, too. Just either way, however you want to do it. All right, take care. Another break? We just had a break. This is Nova M. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us. Before the hour, wow! Where did the night go? My goodness! Just when we're starting to get into the really good topics, y'all have to leave. Well, come back tomorrow. Thanks to the crew who put it together tonight: Ian Huff, Billy Foster, Chris in Minnesota, and Catherine Bay, our executive producer. Thanks to everybody, as always. Back to your phone calls. Andrew is calling from Boise, Idaho, listening on the Internet. Andrew, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
This is the first time I've ever called in any radio show ever.
Well, I'm absolutely honored.
But I've listened to you for many years, so it's a privilege. I just wanted to say something about when you earlier when you were talking about terrorism and whether or not the the United States should appropriately be described maybe as using terrorism. Mm-hmm. Then you had a guy call in; he was pretty pretty uncomfortable with that. And I just wondered if, even though I think that's probably accurate, it's so polarizing for people if you're trying to persuade anyone. I wondered if it might even be more accurate to really call the United States a rogue state. In fact, the leading rogue state, really, in the world.
Well, a rogue state to me would indicate, a country that kind of lops along. Some days they have electricity. Some days they fire off missiles. I think the United States is a very civilized country, not in the esoteric definition of the word civilized, but I mean civilized in that the lights work for the time being, the water flows, the bridges not all are collapsing. It's a coherent society. So I wouldn't identify the U.S. as a rogue state. We have been involved in every major decision with global implications for the past century. So, no, not a rogue state. But we have, in fact, used methods of terrorism to get what corporate America or the leadership in America has wanted at various times. So I think a state that practices terrorism is an apt definition.
Yeah, I think I was thinking of it more in terms of an unaccountable tyranny kind of rogue, ignoring universal, ignoring international law, we're not accountable to anyone because who would we be accountable to? We refuse to listen to any other nation. We do what we want. I think I was thinking of it sort of in that frame of, frame of.
Well, in that regard, you probably have a very clear definition working for you there. The other thing I think, though, to keep in mind is that up until the Bush crime family, it seems to me that we have always at least given some sort of passing adherence to international laws and treaties.
Yeah. Things have really changed, huh?
We've talked before on this program where about the fact that the CIA has used torture forever. Ever since it's been in the CIA, there's been torture, but it was never an official policy. We have an institution right here in South Georgia, School of the Americas, that has coyly changed its name, but School of the Americas has spent the past 50 or 60 or 40 or 50 years teaching militaries in South America and Central America how to organize death squads, how to control a population using military force. That's not democracy. That's terror. How to torture people, how to disappear people, to control your population. And yet, you ask the average conservative or Republican about School of the Americas, and they'll say, well, sometimes you have to do things that aren't on the up and up, as if that were a justification. Then let's stop referring to ourselves as, this kind of misty land of the free, home of the brave. We're only here to help you. attitude.
Their justifications, like Cheney said, we'll have to work on the dark sides. If you want to make an omelet, you have to, is the defense for all of the sort of, horrible things that we've done. So, well said. That's a really good point. And thanks for letting me make those comments, too. And it's really a privilege to listen to you.
Well, thank you, Andrew. I hope you call in again. We're just about out of time tonight, but no, my privilege. Thank you very much for listening and for calling. Mary is calling from Memphis, listening also on the Internet. Hey, Mary.
Hey, Mike.
How are you?
Doing all right. I wanted to talk. Well, so many things have come to mind since I've been listening as this goes on.
Yeah.
What I was originally calling about was about the encampment to stop the war. Have you heard about them?
I have not.
Neither had I until yesterday. And yet they started organizing at least as far back as June of this year.
Uh-huh.
And we're in Washington, D.C. from September 22nd through the 29th.
Maybe I have heard about that. But
Well, they had some big guns with them. They had like David Swanson from After Downing Street.
Yeah, okay.
Adam Coquet, Cindy Sheehan. Don't know. Deborah Sweet from World Can't Wait. Medea Benjamin.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, I do know what you're talking about. I'm sorry.
Now they shut down Constitution Avenue for 5 hours, and the corporate media said nothing.
Not a word. No.
Not a word.
Well, don't publicize it, because if you publicize it, then everybody's going to want to shut down Constitution Avenue, and maybe.
That'd be nice.
Maybe State Street in Chicago and Peachtree Street here in Atlanta, and you know, pick a street in a city anywhere, and you know, if they succeed in doing it in D.C., maybe they can succeed in doing it all around the country. And oh my goodness, then
well, they were putting up tents in the middle of the street.
Oh,
as a matter of fact.
Well, corporate America's not
and,
like that at all.
No, they don't like that at all. And the thing of it was, is you know, it warmed my heart cockles, whatever they are. Just that these kids were so courageous, and it was mostly kids.
Yeah.
And they were saying that okay, it is time for the anti-war movement to move from protest to resistance.
I hear you. When injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. I hear you. Mary, thanks a lot. I appreciate you checking in. We're flat out of time, folks. Mary just had me hypnotized. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care, okay? Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.